Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up! No thanks! This is a guarantee! You lost sight of your ETH! I see bullshit! All bullshit!
I think I'm gonna lose it.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
You're just a pawn! Being pushed around! Controlled, scripted, only say what is allowed! Do you actually feel important? Are you satisfied? Fucking fake ass enforcement! Insults implied! Yeah, this one goes out to everybody getting the shaft at their child!
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 139 of Getting It Out Podcast. That was Hot Zone. The song was called 40s Before Shorties, and their band reached out to me via email today. That's how quickly things work when you send me an email. They sent me their songs, and I said, I'll play that shit immediately, and I did, because it's cool. It's a little crossover thrash. Who doesn't like a little bit of that? Based out of NYC, New Jersey, and Philly, apparently, which is three different places, so I'm not sure how they do that, but technology is crazy. You can do that kind of thing now. They got two records that just came out. Maybe digital only. I think that's the way it looks, but one of them is called Covignorant, and that's funny, and the other one is called, something about, was it Short to Please? And that's what this song was off of. This song was, like I said, was called 40s and Shorties. And if you like crossover thrash, hardcore, punk rock, all those things that are called different names but sound exactly the same, then you'll like Hot Zone. So I'm stoked to play them here, and I'm stoked to hear more from them in the future. See, that's all it takes, man. You just send me a fucking email. I'll play your songs. I mean, hopefully you're good like Hot Zone. But if you're not, I'll probably still play it because I appreciate you reaching out. And I want you all to go down to the show notes and check out Hot Zone. All their shit is for free download on Bandcamp. Or you can just stream it somewhere. And you can probably send them some money too if you want. But I do suppose that is your prerogative. So do as you please. On this episode of Getting It Out Podcast, I got Stan. I tell you his last name, but it looks really Polish or something. And I can't pronounce it. So his first name is Stan. And his last name ends with Ski. And he's in this band Terminal Nation. And Terminal Nation is pretty fucking awesome. You might have heard the recent LP, Halocene Extinction. It came out on 20 Buck Spin, which is like the one of the premier record labels out there right now. We'll get into all that nonsense on this interview. So just hold on to your hats and let's do this. Welcome to this episode. Do you hear my cat in the background? Cat, are you going to meow? It is. Did you hear that? I don't know. Anyway, thank you for joining me on this episode, the 139th episode of Getting It Out Podcast. To those of you who listen regularly, I truly appreciate it. I can't believe that people actually do. When I first started doing this and I started getting listeners across the world and, you know, into the hundreds even, when I started to reach a couple hundred listeners, it was pretty remarkable to me, and I'd always be so impressed, not with myself, but just the fact that there were that you can reach people doing something like this when you got when you have no name. And I'd see people listening in Indonesia or whatever, Russia, or fuck it, Italy, you know, whatever, any other country other than here, any other city other than here, any other county other than here, any other people that I didn't know that were listening to Getting It Out podcast has always been amazing to me. And I think I lose sight of that sometimes. And sometimes I don't. Sometimes I'm well aware, but sometimes it's nice to reflect that I might be reaching some people with my total nonsense horseshit. I really wish I was doing something more meaningful. But the fact that you take your time to listen to what I just happen to like to do is really cool to me. I was talking to a couple friends of mine this week, and you know, and it made me realize that I have done this now for almost 3 years straight. Almost 3 years without missing a week. I don't say that to pat myself on the back. I say that to like I don't think I've ever done anything that consistent. So yeah, that's it. That's all. And thanks to the people that even if you check in every now and then, even if you just check in to see if there's a band on the episode that you like that you want to listen to, or you want to hear what they have to say. I think that's awesome. I've been able to have these conversations with people lately that I never thought I'd talk to. There's one of those episodes coming up sometime soon. There was one last week with the fellas from Sick of It All. And it's weird how this thing, it's weird how my expectations have changed for what this podcast is, should be. It was supposed to be something entirely different when it started. It kind of became something typical, but still something I love to do. So, yeah, that's it. I don't know. This is me just rambling here, because otherwise you're going to hear me talk about how bummed I am that it's September and that I've worn a hoodie and jeans all day and I haven't been too hot, because these are things that bother me. It's the weather is getting cooler. That's bad. It's very bad. Although the fact that I don't have to drive anywhere anymore, other than I drive to Philadelphia once a week, I don't have to drive anywhere else. I don't have to drive to work. So it might as well just snow all the time, I guess. That's fine with me. We could just do snowstorms. It's just I've had this this long-term hatred for snow that it's hard for me to give that up at this point. But I think this year I'm going to try to let's try to do a snow dance, whatever that is. No, I'll just be more open-minded to the idea of a wintry mix here and there. A foot of snow will do. Maybe it'll kill off these spotted lantern flies. Maybe it'll kill off these fucking mosquitoes that are swarming us all year long. I don't know. The NBA playoffs, this is very important. The NBA playoffs have taken a wild turn. There's only one of the four teams that I thought would be there. It's the Lakers, it's the Nuggets, it's the Heat, and the Celtics. I'm shaking my head. That's what the silence was. I'm shaking my head. It doesn't make any sense. That's not who's supposed to be there. It was supposed to be the Lakers, the Clippers, the Bucks, and the Sixers. And then it was supposed to end up being the Clippers, Bucks, right? And then the Bucks. Well, I don't know. I think the Clippers are who I thought would win. None of those teams are around. It's just LeBron and the Lakers. Anthony Davis is there too. And that's all right. I'm a LeBron fan, so I'm okay with them winning. But I'm not particularly a Lakers fan, so I'm okay with them losing as well. There's Jokic and the Nuggets, and I guess you got to put Murray's name in there as well. But my only problem with the Nuggets is that when people in the league talk, people that watch basketball talk about the best centers in the league, they always put Jokic above Embiid. And while that's probably deserved, I'm a homer, so I want Embiid above Jokic. But you know, at this point, it's kind of undeniable. So I don't know. Maybe go Nuggets. Celtics can go fuck themselves. I don't want anything to do with those guys. They can all lose. Hopefully something horrible happens to Marcus Smart. Yeah, so that's good. Jimmy Butler and the Heat. Not sure what to think about this, okay? You know, he was a Sixer last year, so I was on his side. And I didn't even have a problem with them not signing him to come back for this year. But I never expected them to be where they're at right now. And that makes them a little bit likable. Although I got a little bit of a problem with Bam Adebayo for absolutely no reason. I have no reason to have a problem with Bam Adebayo. I like Goran Dragic. Duncan Robinson's cool. What's that rookie they got that shoots real well? They got three-point shooters. They got the man Andre Iguodala on that team. Although I think he's kind of useless, but always love Iguodala. You know, so I guess, I don't know. What am I looking for? I don't care who wins as long as it's not the Celtics, okay? That's NBA talk. Let's go over to football. Football started this week. Football's going on right now. You know what game is on right now, Thursday Night Football? It's the Browns and the Bengals, and there's nobody watching it, and nobody should be watching that. All right. So if you watch that last night, you deserve a spanking. I have no idea what's happening there. I looked at my fantasy football team, and I don't got any players in it. The guy I'm playing against got no players in it because there's no players in that game. All right. If you tell me like Tyler Boyd is your guy, or who's on the Odell, or Austin Hooper, is he even playing? Baker Mayfield, you don't got him. That'd be stupid. Nick Chubb's garbage. Kareem Hunt, though. Kareem Hunt would be a good one. Joe Mixon, maybe? I don't know. Anyway, that's enough sports talk. Let's get into my conversation with Stan from Terminal Nation. Have you heard Terminal Nation yet? If you haven't, and if this podcast is your introduction to Terminal Nation, then that's kind of exciting because they're a really cool band. Basically, a hardcore band. I say that weirdly. But you're here. We'll talk about it. But pretty much a hardcore band from Arkansas. We talk a little bit about the fact that they're from Arkansas, too. You know what? I'm not going to step on this conversation too much. Why don't you just listen to it? First, though, I want to play you a track from their new record, Holocene Extinction. And you know what? Let's just do the title track. Let's do Holocene Extinction and then get in my conversation with Stan.
It's good. This is Stan. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I think I can. I think I can hear you good. You broke up there for a minute, but you're good now.
Awesome.
Well, shit. How you doing tonight?
I'm good, man. How about you?
I'm good. I was just up helping my wife go through my daughter's toys to throw away. That's tough, man. That's way tougher than it should be, you know?
Yo, I just did that the other day. So my girl's... she just turned 4, yeah. And we knew the party was coming, so we had to get rid of some stuff, but we did it, like, secretly.
Yeah, that's what we're doing right now, yeah.
Okay. but if you want to get started, or if is now good?
Yo, we are started. We are in okay. It.
Oh, shit. Okay, cool. Well, sorry about being late.
No, you're good.
Shit got crazy at the last second. Sorry about that.
That's all right. What happened? What'd you have? What was your meal?
So, where are you located?
I'm in Pennsylvania.
Do you guys have Zaxby's?
Never heard of it.
Okay. So it's like a wings, chicken, fries, whatever, you know, you can't go wrong there. Real good, real good. But the line was moderately short. I got in there and then it like got long and it was slow as hell. So I got stuck in there and I couldn't get out. So, but it was good. It was worth it. The wings were fire. They had a hot honey mustard. Can't go wrong.
Well, I'm glad it worked out for you. I was in a similar situation recently where I dropped off my daughter. She lives in Philadelphia. Well, you know, when she's with her mom, she's in Philadelphia. When she's with me, she's in Lancaster. And I dropped her off, and right by her house, the only thing on my way back, because I use a turnpike, you know, toll road, toll highway, the only place that there is a stop is a Burger King before I get on these highways. So I was like, all right, fuck it, I'll have a Burger King. And I don't do fast food often, but I don't mind it, you know? So I'm like, all right, I'm kind of excited. I'm going to get this Burger King. I get in that line, and then I sat in that fucking line I'm not kidding, it felt like 40 minutes. And, you know, then at the end, like, I'm just mad, but you can't get out of it. You know, you're stuck in there.
Yeah.
It's a weird concept, you know. And then you start getting mad at the irony of fast food taking this long. And then
it's Burger King. Was it worth the wait?
Hell no. But then, like, I didn't even get a burger. But then you get to the end. Like, you don't want to be one of those people that complains to the fast food worker not being fast enough, because what the fuck do they care to? It was it's just a bad situation. So. I sympathize entirely. So don't worry about it.
Hell yeah.
But fast food waiting lines is not why we're talking, right?
No, I would hope not. I mean, I got a little more going on than that, I think.
Yeah, you do. You got Terminal Nation happening. And you guys just the Holocene Extinction, did I say that correctly, by the way?
Yes, yeah. Holocene Extinction.
That came out like a month ago, right?
Yeah, like 3.5 weeks. Well, shit, I guess it'd be 4 weeks tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah, you're getting really specific there. 3.5 weeks. this is not, all right, I gotta admit, this is the first that I heard of you guys. But then when I looked at it, I was aware of your split with Neckbeard Death Camp. I thought this was my introduction to you guys, but then I look back like, oh no shit, I just didn't know that they were this good. It's kind of where I landed. Cool. So this is your first. It's not your first full length, though, right? Or is it?
No, this is the first full length. We've done a couple of like 7-inch EPs, and then there's that split. But this was the first time we actually sat down and we're like, "Yo, let's do a full length record." So, yeah, the first one.
So, but you've been around for a few years now.
We kind of started as like a side project thing to kill time in like 2014. So this is year number six. It got a little more serious in like 2016. We did a little more touring and stuff like that. So we've been around for a few years.
Okay, and you guys are from Arkansas, right?
Correct. Yes.
Okay, and I'm sure people say this type of shit to you all the time. But okay, when I start thinking of Arkansas. It's just what do we call it? Extreme music, not alternative. That'd be a fucking weird phrase to use. But you know, like underground music. So I think everybody probably goes to Paul Bearer first of all, right?
Definitely.
And honestly, the first interview I ever did on anything was with Paul Bearer. It was with Joseph Roland of Paul Bearer.
Good guy.
Yeah, he was great. And I sat there and I talked to him. And the bands that I could name from Arkansas then are the same bands that I can name from Arkansas now, except for you guys are now included. So that was Wake, Paul Bearer, and Napalm Christ. And he was impressed by Napalm Christ.
Yeah, that's cool. That's a little bit of a that's a wild card in that list for sure. But that all three great bands.
Yeah, and I mean I spoke to him literally years ago. I don't even remember what it was about. It had to be maybe about the second record. What's happening in Arkansas? Like, are you guys out of Little Rock? It's the only city I can name from Arkansas. Like, what's the Arkansas scene like? I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I got you. So, it's cool, man. I mean, I'm sure it's just based on what you said so far, you probably expect it. It's a pretty small scene, so it's not huge. We're a small city. The scene is like relative to the size of the city. So we're smaller than maybe your scenes in larger areas. But it's cool. Everyone's laid back. I know, you know, the South has been notorious for being maybe not having the most progressive and forward thinking folks. But I think us as a band particularly, but, you know, the other bands, some the ones you just listed as well, have been trying to kind of change that viewpoint a little bit, just change the narrative.
Sure.
Make it a little more welcoming of a scene. Like I said, it's small. It's so small that, like, you'd probably sonically, if you listen to Terminal Nation and then you listen to Wake and then you listen to Pallbearer, you probably wouldn't think those bands would play a lot of shows together. I mean, maybe Wake and Pallbearer a little bit, but even there's a difference there too.
Right.
But this music scene is so small, we really can't be nitpicky in terms of like genres of extreme music.
Sure.
So like the hardcore shows and the metal shows have bled into being one thing. So for that to exist, you know, a lot of cities, I think like hardcore bands and metal bands, or at least the crowds, don't really mesh too well. But here we've kind of somehow we've figured out how that works. So it's a small scene, but it's really it's really like a community. It's pretty cool.
And that's the optimal way, right? Like it's almost like this bell curve. When you have too many of one and too many of the other, it doesn't work anymore. But when you got the right amount, everybody, you know, kind of vibes off each other, and it's a cool deal. And you know, I lived in Baltimore for a long time.
Okay,
you would see and that's a small city, but it's I want to say it's a big scene, right? At least at the time I was
there. I've been a 3-8-9 bash out there.
A couple times.
The scene is crazy out there.
That was great. I think I reference 3-8-9 on every episode. I feel like I do. One, because my band put out a record on there. Two, because Dom, who ran it, is one of my best friends, and I had a lot to do with I helped him out a lot with that label when I could, when he allowed me to, really. I saw it a lot.
Can I stop you there for a second? What band were you in?
I was in a band that didn't fit on that label at all, and we were called Pleasant Living. And
okay.
And the only reason I'll speak for him, although I'm sure he'd be too nice to say it. The only reason that we were on that band or on A389 is because we were all such good friends with Dom. Two of the guys lived with him at one time.
Okay.
I rented
feel
from
like
him.
He's got a really high. His taste is very refined. So I think if he put it out a record for y'all, maybe you're underplaying yourself a little bit. But okay.
I don't know. No. I think it was more of a favor than a good idea. But I'm glad. But I love having that feather in my cap to say, yeah, I put out one record, and it was on A389 when they were like putting out 30 records a year. So
yeah, they were killing for a while.
But so you guys started, what'd you say, 6 years ago, and then you did a couple records on what was it, Deep Six. One on To Live a Lie, which are all like reputable record labels. But then you really like jumped up to this, and I know it sounds a little strange saying it to jump up, but $20 Spin has been fucking killing it for a couple of years now, and just having a record out on $20 Spin, how much did that bump Terminal Nation? How much more action did you see just because of being on $20 Spin?
There's been definitely a significant bump just from that. So $20 Spin, like you said, they've been killing it for a few years. It's probably, I know I'm biased at this point,
yeah,
but even if I wasn't putting out even if he didn't put out our record, I would say it's probably my favorite like metal label going right now. I mean, I buy shit from him all the time, and yeah, it's an honor. It's definitely another level of what we've done before. A lot of people that maybe might have been turned off by maybe some of the lyrical content or the term hardcore, because we're kind of a sore thumb on that label.
You are, yeah, yeah.
Way. But I think there's probably like metal dudes that are just turned off by the word hardcore and don't want to, you know, they don't want to associate with that, that have probably given us a shot simply because of, you know, it's like a tastemaker label. You know, if he's touching it, it's got to be good. It's right. like A389 was. We used that example a little bit earlier. If he's putting it out, it's of high caliber in some regard or whatever. So, yeah, we've definitely seen a lot more maybe publicity, press, you know, a lot more records than we've ever sold before. All our pressings have been pretty small, 300, 500 before this record. So, it's been cool. It's been really sick. A lot of people that I didn't think would give a shit about this band, maybe some dudes that I looked up to in larger bands, have been like, oh, this record is sick. And it's been cool.
That's very cool. Have you personally been able to talk to people that, we don't need to name names, but people that you maybe admired before that have really digging what you're doing?
Yes. I'd rather not put names out there, but it's cool to see, like, you know, maybe we share a post on Twitter, Instagram or something, and then like a dude who played like in a really prominent band 20 something years ago that maybe influenced some of our writing was like, yo, I got my copy in today, great job. And I'm like, fuck.
that's awesome, and I get it, because, you know, like the ceiling for this you know, this type of music, not this type of, you know what I'm saying, like underground music, isn't very high. Like, so like the highs really are just having somebody appreciate it. And when it's somebody that you've looked up to, and or you know, whether I mean, whether that's like exact or not, whether, you know, somebody that music who you've listened to appreciates what you're doing, and it comes full circle like that, that's really kind of, that's all you could ask for, right?
Yes. I would totally agree with that. I think we have, like, specifically Terminal Nation, like I said, in terms of lyrical content, even just geographically where we're located, there's going to be people that are just, like, are going to be turned off by the band simply for, like, little minute goofy factors like that or whatever. I know hardcore is very regionally minded, yeah. I guess. We're like, you know, there's people that'll listen to a band simply because they're from, you know, this state or this region or this city or this scene. And we don't necessarily have that privilege of just being like, oh, a band from Little Rock, got to check them out. It actually hurts us in some regards. So it's kind of cool to see people at least give it a shot and then, you know, receive it positively.
Well, you're another band that's got to dig the way out of that hole. You got Bill Clinton, Corliss Williamson, like, what, you know, the Razorbacks had a moment in the '90s, but
briefly,
but fuck it, who cares? Because, like, I mean, this record and your band in general. Well, you keep mentioning the lyrical content and the kind of the ideology. You know what word I'm trying to say? Of your band and what you guys are preaching, does that really do you find contention, like, locally with what you're saying?
So there was a few months, I want to say towards the end of 2018, there was a lot of I guess there's some close within the area, I don't know, maybe within 100, 150 miles of us, here in Arkansas,
yeah,
there was like some right-wing groups, I guess would be the word, just very like white power, alt-right, whatever the word.
Yeah, the we're not racist, but we are.
Yeah. Except minus the we're not. I think they're pretty much about it. Okay. I think it was tied to some kind of ongoing protesting that was kind of in the area, maybe regarding a monument or something. It seems like years ago at this point, but it really wasn't that long ago.
Right.
But somehow, some way, they kind of got wind of our band, and I think a few of them, like, had said that they're going to show up at a show or protest at a show. And I think one dude, like, showed up low-key to kind of, like, check the scene out. Like, these are not – in movies and shit, you see, like, skinhead Nazis that are, like, into the music or whatever. And this is not that at all. This is, like,
yeah,
some dweeb who doesn't know the difference between, like, Five Finger Death Punch and Furious Five. Right, or yeah, what. Like he just – he was just there just to, like, see what shit's like. And I think like, just to scope the place out. And it was nothing ever came of it. And I think, like, I ended up calling him out from the stage when I heard that he was there. And he booked it pretty quickly when he realized that, hey, maybe this is not the place for me to be. But yeah, I locally, there's been a little bit of stuff like that. I mean, that's more of the extreme case. Like I said a little earlier in our conversation, in the South, or hell, metalheads in general, have not always been the most, like, progressive minded people, and we're trying to change that here, but there's still some stragglers that just don't get it or don't want to get it. And you know, they might talk shit here and there, but it nothing too crazy, I guess, yet. I mean, there's been threats of crazy, but, you know,
yeah,
no, well, nothing's happened.
Well, you don't need to be so hard in the South because we have the same problems up here, right?
Sure. Very true. Very true. I shouldn't be hard on the South because I hate it when other people not from the South are hard on us. So.
And that's me. I'm always hard on the South, but that's just because it's a stereotype. I got to do it, you know? It's just bad. It's bad because I'm just doing the same type of shit that other people are doing, and I'm hating them for doing that, and I'm doing this. Maybe it's a little less harmful, but you know what I'm saying. But here in Pennsylvania, the joke is always that you have, like, Pittsburgh and Philadelphia and Kentucky in between, which it's funny saying that's you because Kentucky would be the north to you, right?
Yeah,
so, right. So like, you know, but yeah, there's I, like, I remember, and to speak on what you're talking about with, like, you, when you see these people in person, there's a well-known right wing, they probably wouldn't say they're Nazis, but everybody knows they're neo-Nazis, group called KSS here in Pennsylvania, uh-huh. Keystone State Skinheads. And I remember one day being at this gas station, picking up something. I'm with my daughter, who my daughter's half Spanish, and just being in line, and he's right in front of me, and he's wearing his KSS shirt, and you know, you're just in a weird situation where you have your kid, and there's this guy in front of you, yeah, and like, you want to say and do all sorts of things, but you, of course you don't because your daughter's right there. But also at the same time, you're just looking at him like, you fucking nerd. Like, yeah, like, what course. Are you? Like, yeah, I don't know. It's just it's a weird thing once you're presented with it. In
yeah, you got to play it smart for sure. You know, because there's you got to pick your hills, I guess. And especially if you're with your kid, it's like, not the time.
Yeah, never the time when you're with a kid, no matter what.
Yeah.
But okay, so oh shit. So the record's been out for a couple of weeks. We talked about reactions from people you didn't expect. But how overall, what has your perception of what people think of Terminal Nation, Holocene Extinction been so far?
I would say, I mean, overall, it's been overwhelmingly positive. I mean, there's been some a little bit of, you know, maybe criticism here and there, but like, to the extent that we've never experienced before, I mean, it's been pretty well positive. Like, if I just look through, you know, reviews that we've been tagged in or whatever, they're like, I'm flabbergasted, I guess is a good word to use. Just, it's just hard to believe that, like, people are that into it. And we recorded it last year, and we sat on it for a long time, and we hoped to, you know, when the record drops, of course you want to go and tour on it,
sure,
and whatnot. Obviously the world that we're in right now is not accommodating for that, and nor would we want to be doing that. But so that was a little bit already kind of a gut punch when you got to release a record and you can't play it. You know, you can't even have a release show.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of the positive feedback that we've gotten out of it, has more than made up. We were just concerned maybe it's going to be too under the radar. Maybe, you know, people have to see it live to get it. And I still think there's some of that too. But yeah, I've been very stoked. It's been overwhelmingly positive. There's been maybe a little criticism here or there, and that's fine. You know, we don't make music for everybody, so I don't expect everybody to like it. But I'm pretty shocked with the amount of positivity that it's gotten.
That's great. I mean, it's from my perspective, it seems to be going over very well. I'm following you guys pretty heavily. You and I have had a back and forth for a little while here, but sure. So I've been watching you guys on social media because that's all we can do, right? And the amount of mentions alone that you guys get is pretty impressive. I know that's like all that bands can ask for right now, because there's nothing, like, there's literally nothing else you can do.
Of course,
like, you can do interviews like this. You can maybe make a music video. You can do whatever, you know, your options are limited. But just the fact that it's happening, like, you're successful in that. It's basically like, I don't know, booking shows and getting out in front of people without being able to do it. Because as much as you're doing that, everybody else is looking at their fucking phones and the internet too, because they got nothing else to do.
That's true.
So if you can get on that shit, then that's a success.
Yeah, good way to look at it. Good way to look at it. I like that.
Okay, so Holocene Extinction. I'm pretty sure I looked that up, but I forget what it is. What the fuck does that mean?
So basically, it's like an ongoing extinction, like a scientific event, where the sixth mass extinction that Earth's experienced, and it's the ongoing extinction that we're living in now. Basically, caused by human activity. Human beings are kind of, it could get deeper than that, because we could go into capitalism is causing human beings to kill themselves or kill the planet that they're living on or destroy their home. But basically, yeah, Holocene extinction is Earth's sixth mass extinction caused by human activity, where humans are killing off the world, basically.
Well, that's heavy shit. I didn't know there was five other ones. I didn't know we've been through them. But I guess there's been a couple extinctions, so.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit before our time. But
well, that's all right. So you guys split this line, and you mentioned it before, of, you know, metal and hardcore. I don't know. You can throw in what other brands can we throw in here? Genres can we throw in? Power Violence, maybe. I don't know, because
Violence Grind has been thrown our way. I mean, at the end of the day, if somebody would be like, if you could just narrow it down to one word, what would it be? I would say hardcore. I mean,
I would too. I would agree.
I'm not going to deny metal influence or, you know, Power Violence or Grind or whatever, but I would say we're a hardcore band. I mean, that's a pretty broad encompassing brush anyway.
It is these days. But is that where you came up from? Like, did you come from the hardcore scene? Is that, or are you coming from somewhere else?
So me personally the majority of the band, we would be, I guess, referred to as hardcore kids.
No matter how old you are.
Yeah, of course. So like, as a kid, I discovered underground music through like skate punk, I guess you could say, like your Rancid, Pennywise,
sure,
NoFX, those kind of bands.
Same road for me, yeah.
Okay, cool. And then from there, I think just kind of, here's a throwback, browsing chat rooms, and like going on like, the B9 forum before it became the B9 forum, or like the Epitaph forum, and like discovering bands through that way. So I was like a punk kid, but then I would like listen to like Black Flag and Agnostic Front and even like Napalm Death. I was like, I was like 13, 14. And I'm like, oh, these are cool punk bands. I just kind of threw everything in that category that was, you know, not death metal, but underground. And then from there, I kind of just discovered live music here in Little Rock, and then it kind of spiraled from there. So yeah, I started more punk adjacent, and then kind of dove deep into like hardcore. It got progressively heavier. I was into I know we talked music earlier, but Little Rock in the mid 2000s was a big hotbed for like metalcore.
Yeah.
Strangely enough.
Everywhere was mid-2000s, I think.
Yeah, I guess
it was either point. It was either metalcore or melodic hardcore, right?
Yes, yes, yes. But earlier you mentioned bands from Arkansas that you know. Here's a big one that you forgot: Living Sacrifice. Are you familiar with them?
Yes, I am. Absolutely, okay. Absolutely am. The Christian metalcore yes. band with didn't at one point they have two drummers?
Oh shit! I don't know. I feel like no. I don't think so.
You know, I might have to edit myself here. Well, I'm not going to, but maybe they just had two bass drums. maybe that's all. Okay. But anyway, yeah, yes.
That sounds on brand right there. I was going to say, I don't know, maybe God was on stage playing drums with them too.
I remember seeing them with Zayo and POD yes. and who else was a Christian festival, Project 86. It was just like Christian metal. Yeah. But definitely.
Cornerstone, maybe?
No, it was called Purple Door, which was it was a local thing. Okay. But yeah. But anyway, Yeah.
So Living Sacrifice is from Little Rock, and they kind of, I mean, they started more in the 90s, but they kind of were purveyors of that sound and champions, you know, a lot of bands to come through the area of that style. Like you mentioned Zayo. I feel like Zayo in the early 2000s came through here like once a month or whatever.
Yeah.
And so it was almost hard to not be involved in that. And so I think that's where, like, I learned punk, and then I was like, dude, I want to go to punk shows. And I found the local venue here, and then it was just like metalcore. And then, like, I found that and kind of got hooked and was in the metalcore world before kind of steering more into hardcore. But so that's kind of how I came into things.
Well, that happens. How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, no, you're 31. Just turned 31.
31. Okay, I'm 35. I'll be 36 this year. So we're close to the same age. We took a pretty similar path. I might have went a little more hardcore than you with when you were in the metalcore thing. But I relate. I understand. I know how you got there. And I don't know if... Did you used to look at, and I'm not, when I say used to, I mean like just a couple years ago, like kind of look back on that stuff like a little bit embarrassed?
I would think in terms of like specifically metalcore or I think a lot of people did.
I never got too deep into it where there's not a lot of embarrassing stuff out there. But I'm okay. Sure. But I'm embracing it now. Now I'm going back, and I'm saying it's all okay. I'm cool with it. I'll even listen to it if I have to. But you know, I'm taking it back. I'm reclaiming it.
There you go. Well, I think so. I don't know if there's like a set number or whatever, like a unit of how much time has to surpass before it you can then reflect on it positively kind of thing. You know, like if
like how everybody can like nu metal now.
Yes, and then exactly. It's revisionist history because everyone hated that shit for like 15 years, and then now it's cool to like it. So I feel like metalcore is kind of getting that revisionist history. You liked it when you liked it, and then a year later you realize you hated it, and then you hated it for 10 years, and now it's cool again.
It's fucking true. It's weird. It's still not cool, but it's weird. It's likable in a strange way. It's like a weird, you know, like your weird old friend. Like, okay, he's fine.
Well, I'm not mad at it. You know, I probably, if we were to talk metalcore or deathcore, I could probably name, I probably couldn't even fill up my hand with, you know, with listing off bands that I maybe go listen to with any sort of regularity. But like I said earlier, Arkansas is a small scene. So, you know, if somebody's in kind of an adjacent metalcore world, you're cool, whatever. As long as you're not an asshole, I'm with it. I don't give a shit. You know, I think we appeal a little bit to that world. So I'm not mad at you.
That's good. And I think
welcome aboard.
Yeah, exactly. I think you guys got enough of a crossover appeal. One, like you mentioned before, it's a big one. Just having Halcyon Extinction out on double or 20 buck spin is huge for that. And just, all right. And these are all just visual things. Your logo, your artwork on the album, that's all very metal looking shit. Right.
Sure.
And sometimes that's all that takes. That's all you need to get them in. And then they hear it, like, well, this ain't so bad. You know, maybe it's not what I thought it was going to be, but this is pretty cool.
Yes, there's been so many dudes from, like, the metal world with this new record that have, like, oh, the artwork looks sick. The logo was cool. And I listened to it, and it wasn't what I expected. It's a lot more raw than I was thinking, or a lot more punk, or a lot more snotty, or, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
But I kind of like it. And I'm like, okay, I'll take it. Whatever.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
So speaking of the artwork, the artwork is very cool. What is that artwork? Who did that?
So it was a painter by the name of Adam Burke. His Instagram handle is Nightjar Illustrations. He's done a lot of larger metal bands. That I think he did the Gatekeeper Sonoran Deprivation.
Okay.
Artwork. He did that last Creeping Death album. A bunch for Fit for an Autopsy. That last album by End, on Closed Casket Activities, just came out a couple months ago. He did that. Just an endless array of stuff. That Eternal Champion record, that first LP they did. So he's like the man. He that dude kicks ass. He's really good at what he does. And we'd kind of been scoping him out for a while as we were like writing the record. And I hit him up via email, and he's like, "Well, I'm booked pretty far out." And I was like, "Okay, well, we're still recording it or working on the album, so far out's okay." But I threw in my ideas. I was like, the album's going to be called Holocene Extinction. I want something that kind of symbolizes death, maybe like a reaper that's like towering over, factories and like putting pollution in the air. And it's like a pollution monster just kind of forming out of that. He was like, okay, let's do it. I'm all in. And I was like, fuck yeah. So that's the vibe we kind of went with, like a big pollution reaper holding a pocket watch to symbolize the doomsday clock.
That's very cool, and it looks very good on this. I mean, I know this is kind of everybody says it, but this is when having a vinyl record is so much better, when you can see, you know, the artwork up close like that, and you know, where somebody puts a lot of thought into shit, that's an important, to me, that makes it an important part of the album. And maybe some bands don't put that much interest or thought into it, but you know, the fact that you did, maybe personally or the band as a whole, is cool, and I think that it just adds to it.
Cool. Yeah, I appreciate it. I mean, I was of the mindset that, hey, it's our first LP. I want it to be like, I want to go all out. I don't want to cut any corners or do anything like that. Like, this is the first release that we like, sonically, aesthetically, recording wise, writing wise, that we just like put 150% in on everything. Like, I would say that Terminal Nation, if you said that we were a punk band, I wouldn't be mad at that, and I wouldn't necessarily agree with you. Our first couple of EPs, we kind of, not to say that we cut corners, but we were just like, we had more of a punk mindset. We were just like, yo, let's record something and get it out there. And this is the first time we took our time and like kind of we're a little more methodical about it.
Well, and it shows, all right. And I from listening to all your other records up until this one, it's obvious the everything about Terminal Nation sounds better. Everything about Terminal Nation looks better. I don't know about you personally. I'm not sure how you aged, but as far as your records, the sound of your records, the look of your records, Holocene Extinction is such a huge step up, and that's not even supposed to be an insult on your other stuff. It's just clearly you guys came with intention and purpose on this one, and also that's like we mentioned before, lyrically it's all there. Or was it important for you to kind of be like, here's where we stand, and I want you all to be aware of it, and put that all on the table from the beginning?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think, I think lyrically, like throughout the history of the band, it's all kind of been that. maybe have just gotten a little bit better at being more forward with it. I come from, like, I think I take more inspiration from more punk style hardcore bands, like you're in, or I guess maybe this would be Power Violence, but
right, Infest.
You're more raw sounding bands like Infest, Left 4 Dead, even even bands like Earth Crisis. That they're a little more metallic-y,
sure,
but their lyrical approach is just like, especially Infest and Left 4 Dead, it's a lot more head on and like direct and straight to the point. Not so much metaphorical or like kind of speaking in a story. I'm just like, yo, this is what I'm about. This is what I'm doing. Like you can read the lyrics of the song, and nothing's up for interpretation. Like you read it and you know exactly what it's about, what we're about, and this is what we're about. So,
well, that's good. You know, I've had that conversation a lot with a lot of I'll say lyricists for hardcore bands, metal bands, whichever. And there really is two sides to it. People want to be open for interpretation entirely. They don't want anybody to know what the song's about, or they want you to know exactly what they're writing about. There's almost never an in between. And
right.
And I feel like I kind of go back and forth with which I prefer. But I think it depends on subject matter, because for what you're speaking about, it makes me like you guys more, right? Like I know that I identify with what you're saying. Maybe I shouldn't say I identify. I'm on your side, basically. Like
I gotcha.
You know, and that's important, right? It gives a little more meaning to your band, your record, than just I like the way that it sounds. It's also, and I like what they talk about. It's harder to do that when you got open lyrics that are open to interpretation.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
I think, like obviously, you know, sonically and with the label and everything, there's a lot more eyes on us from the metal world than there has been before.
Yeah.
And, I think that's one thing that kind of makes us stick out a little bit more. I mean, obviously like there's always been death metal bands that are about like, you know, leftist ideals or just like progressive thought, whatever. But I mean, like your Bolt Throwers, your Sepulturas and stuff like that. But for the most part, death metal, which is, you know, something that we've been categorized as of lately, is very metaphorical and lyrically it's not as head on. You know, it's
yeah.
Interpretation, it's fantasy, it's
gore,
you know, or this, that, or the other. But it's not ever just like, you know, straight. It's not as, they don't have as punk as approach as maybe we do in terms of lyrics. So I think that's one thing that kind of makes us stick out a little bit.
Yeah. And it's a, I don't want to say brave because that's a little dramatic, but I don't know. You're putting your face out there, right? Like,
for sure.
And I don't know. That to me, that's more admirable than just writing about. I don't know. What's the guy who wrote Lord of the Rings? Writing about that guy, and
for sure.
You know. But I like that. I like that shit too. But yeah, to put a actual meaning behind the songs is great. This record, like we said, just came out about a month ago. Well, as you mentioned, 3 weeks and 6 days. it's gone over well. I don't know how to say this correctly because there's, I used to always ask people like, what were you looking most forward to with the release of a record? But that used to encompass, like, there used to be options where now, sure. Now there's, sure, not really options. Like, was there any, consideration of not releasing this now because of what's happening?
Oh, so I, yeah, it was a real rock and hard place situation. So our previous, I mean, I guess we did that split with Neckbeard Death Camp at the beginning of last year, but that's only two songs, you know, to keep people interested. I mean, aside from COVID-19, even before COVID-19, I feel like all, or for the majority of underground music communities, or just music fans in general, are very, there's just so much going on all the time.
Yeah.
You know, every Friday there's fucking
shitload of records,
30 new records. So it's easy to get lost in the flow. People's attention spans in terms of like new music and, stuff like that. It's just, it's not what it maybe used to be. It just, and then I think with streaming and everything so easily accessible, so things just don't feel as, maybe as special as they used to. Where like 15 years ago, this record's coming out, I'm going to get in my car and drive to the record store on the release day and buy it and then stick the CD in my car, or come home and play it on my turntable or whatever. And now it's like, there's not as much of that. Right. So it's easy to get kind of lost in the sauce, regardless. But so it was like a balancing act, because our last EP came out in 2017. And it was an EP. I mean, it was like 13 minutes. And so it's like, do we want to delay this any further and let people just completely forget about us and not care by the time it comes out? So when, and this is when people thought, we were having these conversations in like March.
Yeah.
When people thought that, oh, COVID-19 is going to be shitty for like a month or two, and then we're just going to get back to normal.
that was crazy.
Right. People are going to wear their masks, stay away from each other. We're going to close stuff down for a couple weeks, and then we'll be back to normal, you know, in a month and a half by summer. But it's crazy. People were talking about, okay, by summer, tours are going to be popping because it's going to be over with. And here we are, you know, maybe it's going to be a year or years, whatever. So we weren't really sure. Ultimately, we decided that, hey, even though everything's going on, I still think we should release it. Now, I think in some ways maybe that that was good because of a lot of the civil unrest and obviously some of the injustices with the police and shit that's been going on and amplified lately. People are earning for something that they can, or yearning for somebody that feels as mad as I do. So I've had a lot of people say that. They're like, oh, this record came out at the perfect time. And that definitely wasn't intentional. Like, we worked out a deal with 20 Bucks Bin at the beginning of the year. And we're going to release it maybe in, I think we originally talked about spring or early summer. And it got pushed out a little bit. But a lot of people were like, this came at the right time. I'm glad that there's a band that says exactly what I'm feeling in this very moment. So I think that it worked out a lot. Like, obviously, I don't, you know, I wish the world was a different place, but sure. I'm glad that people who are having a tough time and struggling with that have turned to this record as a little bit of an escape, or even fuel to their fire, if you will.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. I mean, all of it's a weird thing, but like we keep mentioning lyrically, and the things you're talking about on this record, is very, I don't want to say polarizing, because we know, I mean, well, I guess it's polarizing, but it's timely. And sure. When you mentioned earlier that you recorded this, what'd you say? I forget what you said, over a year ago or a year ago.
Yeah, about a year, September, the next to last weekend of September, 2019. And then into the first week and a half of October.
So we'll call that a year ago. So, yeah. So, you know, and not that these are new ideas or new problems, you know, and I mentioned this, I forget how many episodes, who I was talking to. I think it was with Brian McTernan from Be Well. We were talking about the way that, how do I say this correctly? The specifically the hardcore and punk scene has been saying all of this shit for years, right?
For sure.
But maybe now it seems to make more sense. Like, it kind of seemed like it was just part of the genre. Like, you have to have songs that are anti-cop, anti-racist, anti, you know, like, you had to have those songs. And I don't know that they meant as much before as they do now. Not that they shouldn't have, but it almost seemed like just like a prerequisite. Like, you got to have these songs.
In a weird way, I know people use this analogy with like veganism and animal rights things, but like a lot of times hardcore is ahead of the curve.
But it seems more image-wise. Like, it seems like it's more for, and I'm a lifelong hardcore kid, but it seems more like it's just for clout. It's not actual.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. That's fair. That's definitely fair.
Right. We say we're open-minded, but like, this is my thing. One of the things that I almost got into earlier when we were talking about the Baltimore scenes back then. Like, the Baltimore scenes were big. Like, we say we're open-minded. We are. You know, vegan, straight edge, and I would never ever go to that beatdown hardcore show with those drunk fucks. Like, you know, but anyway, sorry, that's just me going off. I tend to go off on the hypocrisy of the hardcore scene because I'm just a little jaded, but
of course,
but my point being, and I know I cut you off and I apologize for that, is that
you're fine,
is that the that your shit did come out at the right time, and it seems incredibly genuine. Some of those songs, it doesn't sound, your delivery does not sound standard. You know, the record, sure. The presentation all seems legit, and I think that maybe that's one of the things that that is helping with, you know, people appreciate Terminal Nation in this record.
Cool. I think I came across somebody, I don't know, maybe when the record came out or when the record was announced, and it was like, well, this band definitely tried to capitalize putting these songs out at this time. And it was like, or writing this record in the middle of all this. And I was like, yo, if you only knew, some of these songs have been in the chamber for like 2.5 years. We've been playing them live and we just hadn't got around to recording a full length until last year or whatever.
Well, those are just morons that don't know how long it takes to actually put out a record. So, yeah.
it's a stressful long process, but crazy thing actually is, obviously we're not touring, so like our copies of the record kind of like no rush from the label or whatever, because we don't need them for shows or anything, and I want him to keep the stock because it seems to be going through it pretty quickly, and I think we're working on a second press right now.
Hell yeah.
Yes I'm stoked about that. But I actually just got my records in today.
Oh, and nice.
It's been killing me, though, because I've seen people on, like, Instagram or Twitter or whatever, and they're like, got the record in, it's beautiful. And I was like, fuck, I wish I could see it. I wish I could hold it. I mean, friends locally have gotten them, and I'm like, oh, let me take a look, which is weird, because normally if things were normal, Dave at 20 Bucks Bin, we would be on tour right now. And he would have sent us our records, you know, first before he ever shipped anything out.
Sure.
And we would be selling them on tour. But obviously I was like, hey, don't stress. Get them to us whenever you can. If you need the extra stock there, I get it. You know, we can wait a little bit. So I just now got them. So a month after the release. But it's pretty cool. It's just kind of surreal that, like I said, I came up with the artwork or the idea for the artwork. And to see it, like, come to life in its final form
it's pretty wild. It's gotta be a proud moment, right?
Yes. And especially the first one, the first LP. I'd like to think I'll still have the same energy for the second one when we do it. But the first one, I'm very, very proud of it.
Well, we'll end it on this because you set it up, but you're going to have a hard one to live up to, because you guys kind of, I think you guys kind of knocked it out of the park on this one.
We're already working on cranking it up a little bit more. So
awesome.
This one.
Great, dude. Well, Stan, hey, thank you for having this conversation. I appreciate you taking the time, and I appreciate you and Terminal Nation putting out this record, making this music, because I myself have been enjoying it over the last month, maybe a little more. And I'm excited for you guys to get out there and play shows. And I say that to a lot of people. I say it to a lot of people that I've had on here lately at the end. Even for a guy who doesn't make it to many shows, like, you know, at this point, I'm still excited for the people that want to be out there doing it, to be able to do it again, because I know how important it is. I know how important it can be to even the person in the audience. So I'm excited for that to happen again.
Yes. Awesome. Thank you very much. Of course. This is really cool. I appreciate you being patient with me on my drive-through run. It was a good time chatting with you.
All right, you too, Stan. Thanks for doing it, man.
Yes, thanks so much. Take care.
All right, later.
All right, bye-bye.
So there you have it. That was my conversation with Stan from Terminal Nation. The song there at the end was called Master Plan. Great band. Awesome band. If you haven't heard Halocene Extinction, the whole album yet, then do yourself a favor. Check that out now, especially if you're into hardcore, punk rock, grindcore, I don't know, what else? Power violence. What are the fucking... Another thing where all the genres, we call them different names, but they all sound relatively the same. But Stan was a wonderful guest. You know, sometimes you just get excited when someone answers the phone like that. A lot of times I do these interviews, and the guy who answers on the other end is like, I don't know, it's got this like voice of doom, like they weren't expecting you. But you know, then you get a guy like Stan who's like, "Hey, what's up?" And that's it, and the shit goes off. And then you talk about fast food for way too long, and you talk about a whole bunch of other shit for way too long. But eventually, you get your points hammered down, and you get to talk about what you're supposed to be talking about. And whether it takes a while or not, I don't mind, because being on the phone and having a conversation with pleasant people is the most fun part of this. And you know, that's true. So, I got a couple more of those coming up. Thankfully, I got a couple more of those types of episodes coming up as we hone in on the fall season of Getting It Out podcast. What is in store? Well, I'm going a little industrial for a bit, you know, a little outside of my normal listening tastes. Going industrial. Got Realize coming up with Kyle Kennedy. You might know him from a band called Sex Prisoner, which is like a power violence, grindcore, I don't know, whatever you want to classify them as. But he has this band called Realize now. They got a record coming out on Relapse record called Machine Violence. It's very cool. I also got the very well-known Burton C. Bell. You might know that name as the singer from Fear Factory, and it is the same guy. But now, but what we recently talked about was his other band, Ascension of the Watchers, and their new record, Apocrypha, that's coming out, I think, like October 9th or something. That sounds right. Let's just stick with that. Anyway, so those are a couple episodes that are coming up. A few more in the mix, too. A couple hardcore bands. A couple, maybe a metalcore band in there. Maybe, I don't know. You know, who knows, man? Who knows, man? Anything can change at any time. I can slip someone else in, or somebody can be like, "Hey, can we do it?" I'll be like, "Yeah, you can fucking do it." Because that's the way this works, man. It's not just me looking for the next coolest guest. We can make this work with just about anybody. You want to come over here and have a cool conversation, we can have a cool conversation. You want to come over here and talk about some dumb shit? We can talk about some dumb shit, too. You want to talk about your band's album? It'd be boring? Don't worry. It's happened here several times. We can do that, too. But, you know, reach out to me. Dan@gettingitout.net. That's my email address. It's that simple, because gettingitout.net, the website, is coming eventually. I'm told within the end of the month. I think I've mentioned that recently in a couple episodes, but we'll see. I'm hopeful that that's the case. I'm hopeful that I can show you some things that have been working on throughout the year, really. A lot of it out of date at this point, but you know, it just needs to get out there. I did a lot of text interviews, a lot of email interviews, a few with friends of mine. That are pretty unknown, but it would be really nice for you for me to share them with you, and I think it'd be cool for people to read. So hopefully we'll get that going soon, but you know, wait and see. You can always follow the Instagram at @getting_it_out_podcast. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/gettingitoutpodcast, and the getting it out Twitter is @gettingitoutpod. Sorry, I'm holding back a burp, and I should just let it go because all my words sound weird now. You ever try to do that? I'm sure you have. We're human. We are one. We are one. What's that? You know, do you remember in the 90s when Bryan Adams, Sting, and Rod Stewart did that song together for the Three Musketeers soundtrack? That was fucking unity, like white people unity, but that was total... Yeah, that was total. I remember listening to that. I remember listening to that song on repeat on a cassette, and like probably recorded off a stereo in my basement, rollerblading in circles around the staircase. That was true 90s shit. And you'd have to step over the drain for the sump pump every time. Yeah, you don't know. You don't know anything. Maybe we get wild and do a deep cut like Bryan Adams cuts like a knife, but. That's the 90s, man. You had to be there, I guess, with fucking Sting, Bryan Adams, and Rod Stewart with that Three Musketeers soundtrack song. You need to look that motherfucker up right now. I wish I had it on me. I'd play it. That's how we'd end this podcast, but I don't. So I'm going on for too long. That's going to be it for this one. The Heat just won the second game against the Celtics. I guess that's what's happening. I guess we're going to see a Heat-Lakers finals. And you got to imagine LeBron gets another one. I hope so. Nobody ever talks about how he's going to do it with his third team. They always say that with Kawhi. They never say that with LeBron. All right? Hey, I don't know. I'm awful with these things. I'm awful with predictions. I don't know what's going to happen. No, most like 95% of listeners of Getting It Out podcast do not give a shit about the NBA, and I understand that. But, hey, I do. So you're going to hear me talk about that. Let's end this one now, though, before I go on for entirely too long with a song from Venomous Concept. Are you familiar with Venomous Concept? You should be. Not because they need the recognition. This is a band made up of pretty well-known fellas. You got Shane Embry from Napalm Death. You got who else is in that band? You got Kevin Sharp, who was in Brutal Truth. You got they had that guy Buzz from the Melvins, but he's turning out to be some kind of weird Trump asshole, isn't he? They had that guy, Danny Herrera from Napalm Death. He might still be in it. I don't know. Danny Loker from Nuclear Assault, and who else was Danny Loker? And I can't remember at the moment. But you know. So anyway, so it's a lot of well known guys. They don't need the lead off song. So I'm gonna put them here at the end. It's the first track off of Politics Versus the Erection. It came out on August 28th on Season of Mist Records. This one's called Simian Flu. Thank you for listening. I hope you'll stick around. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.